This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. So it's always a treat for me when I get to interview a fellow or sister Empower Radio host. Today, my guest is Lisa Campion, and she has a show on the network that you guys are going to want to tune into. All the info will be here on the Soulful Living page. And today we're going to talk about Lisa's latest work, The Art of Psychic Reiki, a step-by-step guide to understanding and developing your psychic and intuitive gifts. I was telling her pre-show that I've had a few people that have taken Reiki 1 and 2 and a lot of training and kind of got lost and got left behind from their teachers. Not me, of course. I was not their teachers. And so I've been referring them to this book. And one of the things that I absolutely loved in reviewing this was a paragraph on one of her pages that says, whether you're new to Reiki or a practitioner seeking to deepen your knowledge and enhance your skills, with this guide, you will learn how to use Reiki to heal yourself and others, cultivate and trust your natural intuition, develop your empathic and psychic abilities, work with your spirit guides, and ground and protect yourself as a practitioner of this sacred healing art. I think you could use this in your life regardless of whether you were a Reiki practitioner or not. And rather than me going on and on, I welcome you to Soulful Living, Lisa.
Thanks so much, Terry. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's such a treat for me.
Well, and I really am loving the book. I loved that paragraph. And as a Reiki master myself, I have found some really great insights in here. I think that we're always learning no matter where we are on the healing path, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's always new skills to learn. And I also think as we deepen as healers and spiritual beings, our talents and gifts also increase. So you might notice you're becoming more sensitive, more psychic as you go down your healing journey. And that's wonderful, but it can also be scary for people if they're not, like, they don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, and I'm getting that that was really a big part of your inspiration for writing the book. It was because a lot of people that you were working with and hearing from were kind of intimidated and fearful of that psychic awareness that was expanding in their lives.
Yes, absolutely. Or they were totally swamped by the empath stuff, you know, so as they got more sensitive, they were feeling very burdened and overwhelmed by their sensitivity kicking in. And it all sort of came to me when I was teaching Reiki, and I've been teaching Reiki for about 20 years now, for quite a long time. And I had a student who came in and said that she was a super talented Reiki practitioner. She said she'd stopped because she felt like that Reiki had opened a doorway for her and really increased her psychic, and she was scared. Mm. And I'd really stepped back from it, and that made me really sad because I feel like my mission is to train healers, psychics, and empaths. And I see those as sort of all being together. They're sort of the same type of person, because now, especially now more than ever, the world needs all the healers it can get. Many people are being called to the healing path. I think it's sort of part of the shift or the ascension that we're in right now. Healers' skills are waking up. Healers' abilities are waking up. And our the people around us, their issues are activating. And there's this general call, I think, that healers are feeling. All of our gifts are activating, and if you don't know what to do, it can be overwhelming or frightening.
Yeah, so let's rewind a little bit. Let's give the listeners some insight into what Reiki is.
Sure, yeah, it's a great question. And Reiki is a gentle but powerful energy healing technique from Japan. It's been around for a while. And where I live in Boston, Reiki is used in all the big city Boston hospitals, and we have some of the best hospitals in the world, actually. And if you're in a hospital here, you can call a complementary and alternative medicine unit, and they will send Reiki down to you pre and post surgery for pain relief if you're receiving chemotherapy. So where I live, Reiki has really gained a lot of popularity in mainstream medicine as being very effective at handling depression, anxiety, and pain relief.
It really is an amazing tool. You know, one of my favorite stories, and I won't get into all of the details, is being able to work with my nephew, who he's 40, but 5 years ago he was diagnosed with leukemia. And within hours prior to his diagnosis, he reached out to me and he's like, I want you on my team, Aunt Terry, because I know you'll work with me. Nobody else in the family knows what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really is such an amazing tool, and that Western medicine is opening up to it is fabulous. They're even teaching it in hospitals now, which, you know, 10 years ago, people thought we were crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they totally did. And it's been amazing to see the shift in how hospitals are receiving it and how the mainstream people are receiving it. And I used to teach, I still do teach a lot of nurses, and now even I teach physicians. And I taught a nurse, I was probably 10 years ago, and people, you still had to be really quiet about it. And they would learn on the sly, and they wouldn't tell anybody that they were doing Reiki. Mm-hmm. And that's, we've come a long way, you know, from that to... It's much more understood and accepted. And there's been a lot of research, too, with Reiki that, you know, people have been researching, just like they research meditation, to sort of document the healing effects of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one question that everybody always asks me is, where does it come from? Where does that energy come from?
You know, I think that many Reiki practitioners, like you could ask 10 different Reiki practitioners, and they might all give you a different story. Answer to that, in my opinion, is that it really comes from this universal life force that's around us, that animates us, the chi, the energy field that is around us, that when we learn Reiki, we learn how to tap this universal life force energy, and which is really good, because if you have the soul of a healer, and you are touching people, working hands-on with people, or working closely with people, we have this natural ability to give our own energy. You know, if let's say you're a massage therapist and you're doing 20 massages a week, you might be giving your own energy to your clients, which is going to deplete you and make you tired and maybe sick. But when we learn Reiki, we learn to tap this universal life force so it never runs out. And then that same massage therapist could be doing those 20 sessions, but continually pulling on this universal life force energy. And I think that's sort of my closest understanding to it. I've worked with other Reiki teachers who are very sort of religious or very Christian, and they're like, well, Reiki comes from God, it comes from Jesus. And I'm like, okay, yeah, like, yes, it does. You know, like, I, you know, whatever I think works for you may be the answer. What do you think, Terry? What's your answer to that?
Well, I totally agree with you, but I just had a thought and a chuckle. As you said, Reiki comes from Jesus. It reminded me of what you posted yesterday or this week on your page about somebody saying it was Satan. So I love that somebody that is of a Christian mindset would say that it comes from God. Isn't that just a beautiful opposite, right?
It totally is. Yeah, it was so funny. I really feel like I'd made the big time when somebody accused me of being an agent of Satan. And what was really funny is I totally misread that and thought they said I was an agent of Santa.
Yeah, that's why I chuckled.
And I was like, oh, yes, I'm totally an agent of Santa. How sweet.
Yeah, I thought that was really great. Okay, so thanks for that sidebar there. I loved it. Another question that people always ask me is, can anybody practice Reiki, even if it's just for themselves?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the miracles about Reiki. So I also teach it in energy medicine school. It's a full spectrum, sort of within the lineage of Barbara Brennan. It's 3 years. It's quite a commitment. It's a long, long, program, and it's very intense. And I love that too. That's sort of a different path. But one of the things that I like about Reiki is it's so accessible. It's so easy to learn. I mean, I've taught children, I've taught teenagers, I've taught, you know, I've really actually never encountered anyone that couldn't learn it. And I have, you know, I think that's sort of the miracle of Reiki. And my show on a Power Radio is called The Miracle of Healing. So I sort of like this idea of miracles. But I had my Reiki miracle story. One of them is when my kids were little, my friend's son was 5, and he was in the hospital with leukemia, and he was pretty sick. And I went in there, and I taught his mom how to do Reiki in about an hour. You know, I gave her the attunement. I taught her the hand positions for herself and for her son. And then I left, you know, and I came back a few days later, and she was just raking everybody. She was so happy. She was raking herself and her husband and her kid and the mom of the kid in this, you know, in this next bed. And then all the nurses that came in, it was like a Reiki fest in there. And her son is fine. He's a, you know, healthy 25-year-old now. To me, that was the real miracle, is that she didn't have time to go to 3 years of energy medicine school. She needed something right then.
Yeah, so it was like giving her Reiki on steroids, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. And
yeah, that, what a beautiful story.
Yeah, I love that's what I love. And so it's so accessible, really anyone can learn it.
So briefly, my story, like my son was injured 27 years ago. He was 2 in an accident, and somebody showed up on my doorstep that had just returned from the East to study Reiki and divine healing. And they said my son would never regain full mobility of his arm again. And he fast forward after this gentleman worked on my son, and he had 95% of his mobility back as soon as they took the pins out of his arm. So I was hooked, man. I was like, oh my God, I am giving up accounting and I want to learn everything I can about this energy work stuff. So
that's cool.
It really is miraculous, and it's miraculous and amazing and wonderful all at the same time that it is, I believe, like you believe, anybody can practice it. It is here with us 24/7, and all we need to do is learn a few things and we are on our way.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more then about the psychic piece that kind of happens automatically when you begin really practicing this art, developing your own skill.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Terry. I love that question. And it's an interesting experience for me, because I really started my life as a healer as a psychic. So I started working as a psychic when I was 19 and did a lot of that. I studied counseling and psychology. Then at some point I really wanted to begin to work inside the energy field and to work inside people's bodies. And that's when I learned Reiki. So for me, it was a very natural, combination of things. It's what I've always been doing together. And what I found was that, I feel like people's Reiki is very individual, and Reiki evolves a lot. And when we learn Reiki and we start to teach it, we sort of mix it with the things that we're already doing. And that's why there's angel Reiki and quantum Reiki and Kundalini Reiki and all these different kinds. Reiki is very good at evolving with who's ever teaching it. And so my thing was psychic Reiki, because that's who I am, you know, as a healer. So I was kind of attracting these students that had more than the normal share of empathic abilities and psychic abilities, and I really began to notice in my mind a correlation between these things, that as healers, and we're really called to be healers, we often have other sensitivities, we have other gifts, and the gift of being an empath, of being able to feel what other people are feeling, and in their bodies and their emotions, and this ability to connect with our own intuition and maybe our guides and angels, that's a really beautiful package for somebody that's meant to do healing work. And we can help our clients more if we learn to manage our sensitivities and we learn to open to our psychic ability. So it makes sense in my mind that they should all be together in one person. So that's the kind of student that I get, you know, and I think the kind of people that are attracted to my, drawn to my book. And then also the the process of learning Reiki and practicing, especially Reiki level two, you learn those symbols. They open up your, you know, your pineal gland. They open up your psychic ability. If you have gifts like that already, it's going to, the process of learning Reiki and using the symbols are, it's going to open it even more. And I think, yes, why we should do that. We should open them and we should train that stuff together so that we can, our clients can benefit the more we fully can access our gifts.
And so let's talk about a little bit deeper on that. You know, let's talk about some of the ways that people may sense that psychic awareness. You know, there's different ways they may hear, they may smell, they may, you know, they may sense their own psychic abilities in different ways, you know, clairaudience, clairsentient. And I know you cover that a bit in the book, and I'd love to just hear a little bit of your take on some of the top ways that people come through. And what do you mean by an empath for those that are listening that aren't aware of it?
Well, empath is one of the psychic gifts. So we have, everybody has different psychic gifts, and some people have the full boat, like every psychic channel open. And others of us have, you know, we're receiving information along a specific channel. It's like a channel on TV that, you know, that you watch the most. And I think people get a little stuck on this topic because they feel like they're not psychic unless they're seeing things. And all the TV psychics we have, you know, are visual psychics. I happen to be a visual psychic. So I see things. And it's one of the more rare ones, you know, and it's a little unwieldy and hard to use. And it's a lot of times people with a strong visual psychic are the ones that come to my psychic development classes and they're like, make it go away. Please make it stop. I don't want it. You know, so, you know, it can be challenging. And it's there's also many other ways, much more common, and is the auditory psychic. So clairaudience, and that's when we hear our guidance like a voice in our head. And mostly the psychic gifts are not so extreme that you see things like a delusion or like a hallucination. It's like you see with your inner eye, with your imagination eye, you know. You hear things, sometimes we hear it with our actual ears, but often we're hearing it in as inside a voice inside our own head, that when we practice, we can learn to distinguish that between our own inner dialogue and the voice of our guidance. And some people get more in the body, like they're feeling sensations in their body, which is also a very reliable and strong one. Empaths are more about feeling things. So they feel things in their body, but they'll also tune into the emotions of the person that they're with. So an empath is, you know, if you have an empath Reiki person, they put their hands on you and they're going to feel in their body what you're feeling in your body. And they're going to feel your emotions as if they're their emotions. And that is a wonderful diagnostic tool if you're a healer, and can be very confusing and upsetting if you don't know how to manage that gift or what it's for.
I know for me personally, I kind of show up in several different ways. I do see things. I do sense things. I do feel things. And for me personally, when I feel it in my body, it took me a long time to really determine that, wait, this is not mine, right? Yeah. Like I'm feeling something and all of a sudden I can look around and I had to tell myself, this is not mine. Yeah. And then it was time to learn, okay, how do I process this? How do I figure out what is mine? And many times I found that when a client booked an appointment, I didn't really know what they were coming in for, but I would start feeling within my body what it was that they were experiencing. And I had to really learn to ground and protect myself, which, again, you cover that in the book too, which is amazing. Different tools that I've learned about that. But it really became important and for me to walk around a lot and say, this is not mine. This is not mine. You know, this is not mine. And so many different ways that we need to learn, as you said, to kind of determine what it is, how to process it, and then add to it how to ground ourselves.
Yeah, I think the best, so that's one of the biggest issues people have when they're really opening to this world, the how do I trust it? How do I know what's mine and what's not mine? And then how do I deal with it? It's sort of the two things people struggle with. And I think what you were doing was perfect, which is to ask yourself the question, is this mine or is this somebody else's? And as we begin to go into that inquiry, we can often figure it out pretty quickly. And when I was new to this stuff, I would just straight up ask my clients, you know, and be like, oh my, all of a sudden my lower back is killing me. Is that you? Like, how's your back feeling? Oh yeah, I came in with this horrible thing. I think I need surgery, you know, like that's how I learned, was to continually ask the question and sometimes really ask another person. And we call that in psychic development, we call that discernment. So discernment is the art of knowing what's what when we're beginning to like sort of really open to this. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so listeners, I'm having a conversation with Lisa Campion, and we are talking about her work with her new book, The Art of Psychic Reiki, Developing Your Intuitive and Empathic Abilities for Energy Healing. You can find all of Lisa's info here at the Soulful Living page, and you can tune into her show, The Miracle of Healing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, here on Empower Radio. So, Reiki, the art of psychic Reiki, it has been, for me, one of the most profound tools that I could incorporate into my own life. And I always tell people that if you do it, nothing else for yourself, not, you know, go into it as a healing tool for yourself, not necessarily as going to heal the planet. And I like what you said too about using it with your family. And I loved the story about the woman in the hospital. I'm sure you have hundreds of stories though. And I know you share some different stories in the book. I love how you break it down with kind of a recap of each chapter and what you've learned in each book. And you cover Reiki 1 and 2. We're kind of getting down to the wire here. We've only got about 5 minutes left, but I'd like to give the listeners an idea of the different levels of Reiki before we say goodbye and put that out there so that they kind of know what to expect. So let's talk about Reiki 1, Reiki 2, Reiki 3.
Sure, yeah. I do think there's some difference in how Reiki teachers teach this. And I tend to teach sort of a quick version, like I'm a fast teacher. I teach it quickly. Other people teach very long and slow. From the way that I teach it, Reiki 1 is a study of, we really focus on self-healing, working on ourselves, working on our families, our friends. I call it kitchen table Reiki. Somebody's crying at your kitchen table, you give them Reiki.
I love that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And that's a lot of Reiki 1 practitioners. And I teach all positions from somebody sitting in a chair, because maybe you don't have a healing table and you're just going to do Reiki on the fly. Reiki 2 is called the practitioner level, and that's where we learn a few of the Reiki symbols. I think anyone who's working with their hands on people should get to Reiki 2. Hairdressers, nail techs, nurses, massage therapists. And we learn also long distance healing at Reiki level 2. And this is the one that tends to really pop people's psychics open. Then the Reiki 3, which is also sometimes called the master level, you learn how to teach Reiki, how to give the attunement so that you can pass the ability to do Reiki to the students. You learn sort of the master symbols, which are more working on the level of the soul and doing spiritual healing. And that's how I teach it.
And so would you say that the attunements are kind of like an initiation into the Reiki teachings or to the Reiki energy itself?
Absolutely. And initiation is exactly the word that Yasui Sensei used, Reiju, you know, and he would give you an initiation that way. And it's sort of, the initiation uses breath and the Reiki symbols to permanently change your energy field so that you can connect to the specific frequency that Reiki is, which is the frequency of unconditional love.
Yeah. And isn't it beautiful? I mean, we hold Reiki shares here in our community for practitioners and for just the general public. And it's so amazing to just participate not only in the healing end of it, but the receiving end. It's such a beautiful, loving energy that it's like an addiction. I tell my husband who's comes from a Buddhist perspective and he's not really into it, but he'll say, just do it distant so I don't know what's happening. And I'm like, oh my God, you just have to feel it. It's so amazing.
It is amazing. It's so loving and nurturing and comforting. I think that's really how most people feel when they receive Reiki.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so in the book, you go into detail about Reiki 1 and Reiki 2. After reading the book, if somebody wanted to get attuned to Reiki, how would they go about doing that?
Well, I think you can find a teacher in your area. That's definitely one way to do it. And I also have that as a available on my website. So you can go to my website, lisacampion.com, and book a half an hour session with me, and I'll attune you.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, we are down to the wire here. Lisa, this has been such an amazing show. I loved that we could, in this, 27 minutes, really get into some of the juicy stuff about Reiki itself and, of course, the book, The Art of Psychic Reiki. I love for my guests to leave the listeners with something that they can take out into the day to elevate their soul, empower themselves in some way. What would that be for you?
I think you'd be really learning to trust your heart and your gut. And go from there, like live in the world from our hearts.
I love that. And I'm going to kind of rewind to your word discernment, right? That's how,
yes,
how they can really step into learning that. Well, thank you so much for being here. Let's do this again. It was great fun and so informative.
Thank you, Terry.